you found the best place for quality internet talk. Around the clock and around the world. TalkZone.com.
And now, let's get back to Barely Legal with Robin Earle and David Spada. Whoa.
Okay, it is 24 past the hour. David, I tell you what, I'm still gitterish. I still got goosebumps, man. You know, to have a guy like Dick Buchtis live interview like that, I mean, I guess we got the power of the mic. We were able to do that.
Exactly. You know? You got to give Matt credit, though. A lot of these kids of former athletes are real screw-ups, but Matt has taken the bull by the horns. He's the brains behind an operation, and he is going out there and signing up students to play clean. You got to give him credit for that.
Got to give him credit, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, this fall or even this spring, get some of these high schools in line and so forth, and I still have some good connections with some of the high school coaches around the area since I was coaching youth football for nearly 15 years, you know, in the Libertyville and Buffalo Grove and Lincolnshire area, and of course even with the Chicago Bear youth camps that I direct four camps, the Deerfield, Lincolnshire, Lake Forest, and Northfield, and those will be coming up in June and July. So, you know, even that, I always try to send the message out to those kids. And remember, they're like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, but they need to know now. They need to know the issues and the problems that could happen if you go down that stray road of steroids, and it's not a good road to be on.
No, it's scary. I mean, look, the number one player in baseball, Barry Bonds, allegedly used them. He won't admit it. You have A-Rod using them, and those are just two of the big names. I mean, it's incredible.
And I'm glad it's starting to clean it up, and you know, it's just the NFL has really done a great job because of the testing. But, man, you look at some of these guys today that play. They're so big and fast, and you just kind of wonder if, you know, at one time in their life, did they, you know, do the steroids?
I talked to a minor league player, and he was telling me that when he was actually former minor league player, when he was playing in the minor leagues, he was given so-called vitamins to take. And if he didn't take them, they said, you're not going to play. He had no idea what those vitamins were at the time. Then he found out later they were steroids because they wanted them to be able to play. So in the minor leagues, the trainers are given this medication on some of these teams. So that's where it starts.
Absolutely ludicrous. Okay, let's switch gears here a little bit. And this is a real, we got the Cubs, we got the White Sox, we've got the Bulls, and of course, the Masters. And, you know, if anybody out there that, maybe not golf fans, whatever, I know you got, you know, you're in your office right now and, you know, in a cubicle, hope you're listening to the Barely Legal show here, but, this is by far, and I, before I leave this great earth, I want to play Augusta.
Talking about Augusta, I was with Ron Kittle on Monday at lunch, and we were talking. It was for the opening of the Chicago Sports Webio, and Kittle was saying he's played Augusta numerous times. I said, you know how many people would kill for that opportunity?
No, he goes,
yeah,
kidding.
I went out there a bunch of times. He knows Hootie Johnson.
Well, that would help. You know, let's take the Chad Campbell, the leader at -8. Okay, but he's also, he must have birdied. He must have had a birdie already, but he's through three. He started out yesterday, Thursday, with 5 birdies in a row.
He birdied the first 5 holes, and then he birdied the first 5 holes in the back. He was at 9-under one time yesterday.
9-under, and of course, he bogeyed 17 and 18. But here was an interesting thought was that one of the analysts came on this morning on one of the radio stations, and what he said was he started thinking about it. He goes, man, he says, you know, you think I could actually break, you know, this, you know, 59. I mean, he was right there to break the record.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I think the lowest score was a 62. Norman shot it, I think, in 86 or 96. But, yeah. I mean, those greens are like putting on concrete. They are so fast. And the undulation, the ball, I mean, they're putting 20 feet right of the hole, and the ball's breaking back to the hole.
No question about it. I know Tiger tees off right around, I think they said around 10:45 our time. So, we got a little bit of time before Tiger tees that up, but you know, him being, 2-under, you know, but that's Tiger, you know, he kind of stays in the hunt a little bit, you know, he never really, you know, in the Masters, his best round is a 70. That's what he shot yesterday. Yeah.
If Tiger is in the final two groups, you got to watch out because these guys seem to choke when he puts any pressure on him. It's incredible. I mean, he goes out there and he just hits solid shot after solid shot, and these guys, They tense up. They're slicing the ball. They're hooking the ball. It's incredible. And Tiger just sits there and plays tough, but it's the training. His dad was a Green Beret. He trained Tiger to play golf like a Green Beret. Nothing phases this kid. If he misses a putt, he's pissed, but he forgets about it in the next hole. He's just sitting there pounding the ball. He's got the mentality to play.
Yeah.
He would have been good at basically any sport because that dad pushed him, but he knew when to let up and what to do. Other dads, like Todd Marinovich's dad, screwed that kid up royally. You've heard other stories, but
wouldn't even let him eat a hamburger.
It's scary here.
Yeah.
I mean, but Tiger is just incredible. But Tiger has an advantage over these other guys, too. He's got 20 people on each side of the fairway, 20 deep. So it's almost impossible for him to go out of bounds. If you and I were playing, spectators, we could basically be guaranteed that we'll never go out of bounds right or left because there's fans there.
Fans there.
And people don't talk about that, but these other people maybe have 200, 300 people watching them, guys you never heard of, and the stars have maybe a couple thousand, but Tiger's got 20, 30,000 people following him at every hole.
Yeah. Actually, he tees it up in exactly 15 minutes. It is 9:30 Central Time here. We are streaming live from Morton Grove, Illinois, and TalkZone.com. But, a lot of people, they go, Robin, how can you sit in front of the television and watch golf? Can you watch golf on TV?
I love watching on TV. The problem is the kids. I was watching the replays last night, and the kids are looking at me. They're begging me to watch the Bulls game rather than golf.
Well, since my Cubs weren't on, okay, I didn't get it. Of course, the Bulls were there and so forth. I had a late meeting on, like I always do on Thursday, with the Liberty Chicago team at headquarters. But let's talk a little baseball here, and of course our Cubs start out pretty well. They're 2-1. They win the first series. That's good. The White Sox. What is it with the White Sox in Kansas City? They just can't beat the Royals.
The White Sox, they have some problems this year. I mean, that bullpen is shaky. I mean, they brought in Bobby Jenks yesterday when they were a tie game in the ninth inning. You don't bring your closer in the ninth inning unless you're winning, but he gave up that two-run home run, and it was all over.
Yeah. I'm gonna withhold the White Sox here because we're going to have a former White Sox player on, a great friend of mine, Eric Soderholm, who had a great career in the major leagues. He's going to be coming on board with us in a few minutes in the next segment. I do have a little bone to pick. David, I get up, I work out every day. Whether it's 6 o'clock in the morning, 7, 8, 9, whatever time it is, I've always got my headphones set to the Score radio. But for some reason, every time, I don't care if it's at 6, 7, 8, or 9, it's all White Sox. All I hear is White Sox.
They gotta promote the Sox because their talent level stinks now. No, North's gone. They got Hampton and Holmes. I like Hampton when he's with the Three Bears, but he's struggling now. You got Murphy, who is the only guy who will talk Cubs on that station. And then Boris and Bernstein, who I like Dan as a person, but everybody's an idiot who doesn't agree with them. And Mully and Hanley have been great to me. They're my favorite show still on the Score, but I finally pulled the plug on my ad yesterday and said, I'm done in April because I'm sick of hearing the talent you got now besides Mully and Hanley. I'm sick and tired of hearing Sox all the time because the ratings are going down. The only reason they are surviving now is because of the Sox, and they're going to pump that Sox team. But if that team does not play good baseball, that station will be in the tank, and people will be going to the internet for our show, the Chicago Sports Webio, and all my money's going to Chicago Sports Webio now. I'm getting ripped on the chat board saying, what the hell are you doing? But I'm done with the Score. And we'll see what happens.
Let's rip them up today. It's rip off Friday. It's rip off Friday. What the hell? You got the Score. It goes all the way back to Mike North. I remember walking into the Belmont Studios there back in the early 90s. What was it, 92?
92 it started. I started listening to the Score in my college dorm room, my last year of college, listening to Mike North. And I remember what got the Score a lot of exposure was the Mike North, Mike McCaskey interview. When he ripped in the McCaskey saying, you don't care about winning. McCaskey to this day will not go on that station, but it got him a ton of feedback. And the only reason that station got publicity was because of Mike North with the antics with Ozzie Guillen, the interviews. You had Jay Hillenberg, I remember him being on there creating controversy with North. That's North and Jiggets made that station.
Absolutely.
And now it is a complete train wreck. They had a good overnight show with Les Grabstein, but they fired him, put Sporting News Radio on. In the evenings, Mike Murphy did a good job. they give him 2 hours, which I don't get this, 2 hour shows with Hampton Holmes and Mike Murphy. I mean, and then they're putting like a replay of Dan Patrick on from the morning, which is talking about what's going on in the morning, and it's not relevant at 11 o'clock at night.
You often wonder sometimes, David, you know, I mean, I know your passion when you grew up was to kind of get into sports and talk radio or, you know, talk sports.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you kind of diverted off to John Marshall to get a law degree.
I became an attorney.
So. I got a question, you know, because I talk to you at least 4 or 5 times a day. Hey, we got so-and-so, we got this guest, blah, 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 blah. And hey, you know, I mean, we're like, we do it all ourselves shop. You know
oh, exactly.
I mean? This is our do ourself show. You know, we got David Spade and myself. We get the guests. We get the sponsors. What the hell? We're like, you know.
I can't believe how hard it is to put a show together. I mean, we got the great guys behind the glass, Dave Olson and Randy. But again, they're not basically booking the guests. We're trying to get guests on, and people are coming up to me going, how are you getting Dick Butkus, Bobby Hull, Emery Moorhead? I said, I don't know. I said, Robin's got a lot of contacts, and I'm starting to develop these contacts, and basically people are more than willing to talk sports who played in Chicago. And I listen to these stations like ESPN and The Score, and I'm going, they're getting these reporters on. People don't want to hear the reporter for the Chicago Bulls, the White Sox, the Cubs. They want to hear the former athletes talk. I've talked to people, and I've gotten emails saying I enjoy hearing Bobby Hull, Dick Motta, Johnny Bock tell the stories, Matt Butkus, things like that. I don't want to hear the reporters and stuff. Yeah. And I think this internet is the wave of the future, and The Score and these other stations are forgetting that. Even ESPN, I mean, they fired their best guy in Dan McNeil, which makes no sense. The afternoon show is just there now. Yeah. Their best show now is Waddle and Sylvie locally, and the other shows are all bad.
Yeah, Davey hit it right on the head. In our industry, in the network marketing industry, in that world, we have this old saying, okay, facts tell like sports writers and commentators, but stories sell. Those are the athletes. The athletes have the stories. They were there. They lived it. Okay. There's a lot of wannabes out there. There's a lot of people that think they know what they're doing or what they're talking about. But unless you've experienced it, it's like me trying to coach the quarterback position. I can't do it. It's not me. But if you want to know about the tight end position, you want to know about the running back position, yes, I can coach that. And it's all about the story and how you deliver that story.
Oh, exactly. You got to make it interesting. You can't be a stumbling, blumbling ex-jock or else no one's going to want to listen to you. I mean, some of these athletes you hear come on, they can't talk. And if you can't talk, you can't market yourself. You can't market your product. I mean, you see it, Robin. If you were stumbling, bumbling.
Oh, I've done that before.
But I'm saying if you couldn't talk, how would you sell the Liberty phones when you were in the insurance business? How would you sell insurance? You've got to sit there, go out, and be able to talk and communicate to be able to sell yourself.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what marketing, that's what sales is all about, and being able to articulate and get your point across and so forth. But I'm in the people business. And so are you. You know, I mean, you're dealing with people's lives every day in court. That's just a fact of life. But, you know, I've been so blessed and so fortunate to have a great supporting cast around me. I've got a fabulous family, a great wife, the kids. I mean, everything is just all coming into place for me. And doing this, now, you realize we're going on 6 months?
I didn't realize you've been doing this long.
Yeah, I mean, we're finishing up the fifth month here, and we came on in early November of 08. And remember our first guest?
Dave McGinnis.
Dave McGinnis of the Tennessee Titans. And Paul Popovich called me yesterday. He wants to come in studio, former Cubs player. He's all excited to come in. He's going to be out of town for the next couple of weeks, but he's looking forward to coming in studio to get his perspective. Hopefully the Cubs should be out about 5 or 6 games in first place by then.
I mean, Milwaukee looks terrible. They have no pitching. They better beat the teams 20-19 to basically win, because this pitching's going to give up a lot of runs. I mean, St. Louis has no pitching. That division's a train wreck. The Cubs should run away with it.
Yeah, you know, you take a look at it, you know, with the Cincinnati, Milwaukee, and Pittsburgh. My goodness. I mean, you know, and St. Louis is 1-2. Didn't they lose a series to Pittsburgh?
Oh, exactly. I mean, that division is a train wreck. The Cubs, if that pitching holds up at all, they will run away with that division. They could afford an injury or two, but if they go through a 1985 season with the pitching staff where the whole rotation goes down, I don't even think even the Cubs can win that division if you lose five of your starters. But, I mean, that team is just rock solid. I mean, even Fukudome had four hits the other day, a home run. He looked solid. And then you got to...
Don't go too far there. I mean, you know, after he was 0-for-4 in the first game, okay, then they sat him, okay.
But all you need from Fukudome is a 260 average, 15 home runs, 75 RBIs, and maybe 15 stolen bases, and you're in great shape. I mean, the Cubs will run away with it. And if he does that, I mean, he'll be... You know what? He's going to be in the All-Star game again this year. Because this All-Star balloting is flawed because all the Japanese people are going to be voting for Fukudome. He got in as a starter last year. He'll do it again. But I have a feeling Fukudome is going to have a solid year. Aramis will be Aramis. Lee will do the normal Derek Lee thing. I mean, the Cubs have really no weaknesses in that lineup.
You know, it'll be an interesting game. Well, actually, it's a 305 pitch today with Rich Harden. Let's find out how Rich Harden's going to do this year, and hopefully he can stay healthy.
He's got that tear in the shoulder he's had for 2 years, and he's been training to try to blow up his arm. But if that guy pitches like he did last year, that guy could be a Cy Young candidate. I mean, he had a high one ERA last year for the Cubs. He was unhittable. Even in the playoffs, he did well. I mean, he just pitched the four innings because that series was pretty much over when he started pitching. But that guy is the most talented player on that Cubs pitching staff. He's even better than Zambrano. I mean, that guy throws in the high 90s. He has great control, strikes people out, and he is a force to be reckoned with. Oakland gave up on him way too early. They got garbage from the Cubs. They got Corey Patterson's brother, Eric, who's a complete bum.
Yep.
The guy, he's trying to make the Cubs, and he's not coming up, not getting to the game on time.
You know what? Pitching for the Brewers is Brandon Looper, and I know that name sounded familiar because he was with the St. Louis Cardinals for the past three seasons. Looks like a career ERA around 4.
He was a former closer for the Marlins.
No kidding. Wow.
They made him a starter. I mean, look at that St. Louis pitching staff. It's a train wreck. They got Brandon Looper. They got Chris Carpenter who's coming off shoulder surgery and a bunch of retreads on that roster because they don't want to spend the money.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back. We've got Eric Soderholm coming on board. You do not want to miss it. This is the Barely Legal Show. David Spade is my partner, and I'm Robin Earl. I'll talk to you in a couple minutes. The commercial critics claim that you should never start with a question. They might be right, but the heck with those so-called critics. So I'm going to start by asking the listeners two very important questions. Question one, how many millions of people have a home phone and or cell phone in the Chicagoland area? Question two, how many would like to have unlimited calling from their home phone and cell phones for only $24.95 a month with no credit checks, no deposits, or contracts to sign? Well, if you're like me, the only answer I can come up with is a resounding yes to both questions. Hi, Robin Earl here, and I'd like to introduce you to Liberty International and the massive rollout of WiMAX, which is going to happen very soon to the Chicagoland area. What is WiMAX, you say? Well, all I know is WiMAX is the fourth generation, or 4G as the techies call it, of wireless technology. It is designed to enable high-speed mobile internet access. Experts predict that by the end of 2010, the United States will have over 140 million subscribers to this new WiMAX technology. So what does all this mean and how does it benefit you? Well, by going on the Liberty International phone service for only $24.95 a month, and remember, there's no tax, no deposits, no credit checks or contracts to sign, and when you refer three friends or neighbors to our service, your phone service is totally free. You will never have to write a check to your home phone or cell phone provider ever again. If you'd like further information about Liberty International and the incredible opportunity it provides, please give me a call at 224-515-0500 or visit my website at robinearl.net. Again, that's 224-515-0500 or my website at robinearl.net. Get a hold of me. The only thing you got to lose is your phone bill.
The next time you're in the coffee aisle in the grocery store, pick up a can of Stewart's Coffee. You're probably asking yourself, why Stewart's? Because Stewart's roasts only the finest beans and grinds those beans to perfection. By using the finest beans, you'll get a more consistent taste. This is the reason Stewart's has been around since 1912. Consistency and quality. Still family-owned and operated? You'll know Stewart's Coffee because of its plaid can. You'll find cheaper coffee on the store shelves, but not the quality of Stewart's. Remember, you get what you pay for. Coffee's good, but Stewart's coffee is so good.